It's good to be here with all of you this morning. Like Rodney said, I have known he and Jody for a number of years. I've actually known Nevin and Rodney for quite some time. Back in youth ministry, I had their band come and play at a fall retreat, a little band called Ransom Project that they were in together. If you are not familiar with that band, just Google it. It'll be a good time for you. Or search it on MySpace or however you want to find them. Been friends with Rodney and Jody and their kids for quite some time. And I just want to let you know that they love you a lot. They talk about you guys, and they talk about what God is doing here at River City all the time, and it is great to be here and see it firsthand. We're continuing in this series where we're talking about prayer this morning, and as we do, I'd like us to think about the fact that God is always speaking to us. God is always speaking to us. And before we can talk about prayer and talking to him, I'd like us to spend some time this morning reflecting on how he is speaking to us and how we need to listen to him. So that's where we're headed this morning. Kids, if you have, is it Wiki Sticks? Is that what they're called? Wiki Sticks? If you have your Wiki Sticks, kids, I'd like you, while we're having the sermon this morning, I'd like you to make an ear. Can you make an ear? And I want you to show me at the end of the time. Or you can make a little guy with big ears. So you can work on that. Adults, if you want to, go ahead and grab them. No one's going to shame you for working on that during the sermon as well. If you would join me in prayer and we'll get started. God, thank you for this opportunity to hear from you. God, we are so grateful that you speak to us. You have not left us here in silence. You speak to us, and you speak when things are difficult, whether things are difficult in our lives or in our world. God, you speak, and we want to hear more from you. God, we're desperate to hear more from you. We pray that we would learn more about listening to you today. God, we pray that we would tune our hearts, our lives, our very bodies, our church family to you, that we would be tuned into your frequency, we would hear what you are trying to say, and that we would respond in gratefulness because of all you've done for us. In Christ's name, amen. Missionary and pastor Andrew Murray says that our native atmosphere was supposed to be nearness to our God. We are made for nearness to our God. And with that nearness comes communication, just like any intimate relationship. We're made for nearness with God. We're made to hear from God and speak to God, with nothing interrupting and nothing getting in the way. Our native atmosphere was to be the atmosphere where God lives near his people. But you know the story, right? We're made for that atmosphere to be close to our God, our Creator. But from the very beginning, our ancient ancestors, Adam and Eve, chose to go their own way. They chose to stop listening to God and start listening to our enemy, the devil, and start listening to their own hearts and their own desires. So there was a break in that nearness to God. And after they sin, God comes and he says, "Adam, where are you?" There's been a break in that nearness. There's been a break in that communication that sin has brought into the world. And because of this, prayer is now difficult. Prayer is not now difficult. Speaking to God or hearing from God is now difficult because of the sin in our hearts, the sin in this world, and the suffering that sin brings about. Because of sin, we cannot hear the whisper of God. Because of sin, we hate the silence. Any opportunity for us to hear from God, we fill with other noises because we're afraid of the silence. We feel awkward if there's any break in the conversation, in the prayer meeting, in the church service. In fact, they tell public speakers that they need to get more comfortable with their awkward pauses. And most people report when there is a pause and no words are being spoken, they estimate that the silence was 10 seconds. When in reality, it's less than 1 second. We hate silence. We have to fill that void, or we feel awkward or worse. Do you ever find yourself trying to be silent and listen to God, or just find a moment of silence and your mind is just flooded with things that are not from God? The worries of the day, the fears of the day, the shame from the past flood our minds. So because of sin, we hate the silence. Hebrews 4:16 says that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence and find help in our time of need. Our sin and our break in our relationship with God keeps us from ever approaching the throne to begin with. It makes us think that God does not sit on a throne of grace. Instead, our sin thinks that when we return to God, we do so with our tail between our legs, and he reluctantly has to listen because of Jesus. So in light of this, what do we do? What do we do to bridge this gap when our nearness to God and the communication with him has been broken due to sin and to suffering? Well, we're going to get some clues on what to do from Psalm 25. If you would please open up there, we read the first 10 verses. So we're just going to go through a few sections here and take a look at what we can learn about approaching God and also hearing from him. So Psalm 25, if you would turn there. First, we'll just read verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. And then the first line of verse 2, O my God, in you I trust. First, we have to start with God. He is the initiator. He is the creator of everything. He created everything that we see. He created life itself. In fact, from the very beginning, all he had to do was say the word light. And there was light. God is self-defining. God is self-originating. God speaks, and it happens. A power that we cannot even fathom. God initiates. And this psalm, like so many others, reminds us that we must start with him. He made us. He wants a relationship and a nearness to us. He made us to enjoy fellowship and joy in him. That's what we're made for, and we need to start there. We need to start with knowing that God wants to spend time with us. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and it's clear to you that maybe they don't have time for you, or maybe they're off somewhere else in their mind, or maybe they're trying to hurry up and get to the next thing? Not so with God. He always has time for his kids, and he always wants to talk to us and hear from us. We need to start there. Oh my God, verse 2, in you I trust, let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. The next thing we see is that this psalmist is in a difficult circumstance. Here, David is saying that my enemies are against me. And in fact, they're treacherous. They're treacherous against me. Have you ever gotten a text from someone or seen a comment on social media and you kind of are like, what did they mean by that? Or maybe they send one of these very ambiguous emojis, like the upside down smiley face. Like, what do you mean by that? And we start like reading into what they're trying to communicate to us, and we can feel slighted or wronged with this miscommunication. That's not what David is talking about here. David is not talking about a miscommunication or a misunderstanding or someone that has lost touch over years. He is saying that his enemies are wantonly treacherous. That means his enemies are going out of their way to provoke him. They are unprovoked. They are doing so without cause. They are coming after him. We can learn from this that David's circumstances are very challenging. He is in a bad spot. And it's not by his own wrongdoing. It's by his enemies unprovoked going after him. So many times we let our circumstances determine our prayers instead of going to God no matter the circumstances. Look with me at verse 4 and 5. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Here, David is saying that there is a true path, and I know that it's only found in God. There is a true way. All other ground is sinking sand. And the way is narrow to our God, but there is a way that he has set out for his people, his creation, a way that we should walk in, guidelines and precepts that we should walk in, strength and power and victory that we should walk in. He has set a way for his people. Far too often, we live by our way of doing things. And we tend to live, even our spiritual life, our Christian life, as a choose-your-own-adventure, where we think we can just pick and choose, and we can choose when we follow Jesus and do the Jesus thing, and when we're going to go and do our own thing. We tend to live by a choose-your-own-adventure or choose-your-own-path, but we are told that the wide path leads to destruction. And we're told in Proverbs 14:12 that there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it only leads to death. Here, David reminds us that there is one path to walk in. It's the path that God has laid out for us. It's not just a religious path or an irreligious path, or it's not just church on Sunday. It's a way in which we are to walk. We don't walk in our way. We don't walk in the ways of the world. We don't listen to the lies of the enemy and walk in his ways. No, we look to walk in God's ways. And the psalmist David here is saying, Lord, make sure I know your ways. Show me the ways to walk in. Give me the wisdom that it takes to follow you, God. We need to know what it looks like to walk in God's ways. And what does his way look like? We find out in verses 6 and 7. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. What is the way of the Lord? What is the way of those who are in Christ? It's a way of mercy and grace. First and foremost, if we are in Christ, we are good news people. We walk in good news. We live out good news. We share good news. We are made to be good news people. If you are in Christ, the truest thing about you is that you are redeemed. Everything else is secondary. You are redeemed, a child of God, adopted into his family. Any other identity or role is secondary to that. The truest thing is about you is you are redeemed. The truest thing about this world is that they need a savior. They need good news. And the truest thing about your future, my future, the world's future, is that Jesus is coming again someday. These are the paths of God. This is what's true in the world. Everything else is secondary. This is the way that God has prepared for us. This way of grace and mercy. This way of remembering not our transgressions. This way of walking in freedom and victory and forgiveness because of what Christ has done. See, David here is remembering the good news when he's surrounded by bad news. David is surrounded by his enemies. He's got enemies, physical enemies against him. If you know David's story, he's got enemies in his own family. He's got enemies in his own flesh. He's got the enemy, the devil, that is after him all the time, tempting him with power and lust and wealth and anger and bitterness and betrayal. But here David is remembering the good news of what God has done for him and the path in which he has laid out for him. The good news is found in what God has done for you, not what you can do for him. You can never do enough good things to turn your life into good news. You need that God-initiated relationship and good news that only he can provide for you. You can never heap up enough righteous acts, enough acts of service, enough prayers, and enough asking for forgiveness to tilt the scales to where God will forgive you. It's only God initiating a relationship with us and Christ redeeming us. Here the psalmist is remembering where good news actually comes from. It's not a change in his circumstances, but it's the presence of his God. And then he asks for instructions. Look with me at verses 8 through 10. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now, David remembers that God has given him instructions of how to live, how to walk in the promise of God, the presence of God, in the provision of God. So here we see David acknowledge who God is, that God initiates a relationship with him. We see him acknowledge his very challenging circumstances. We see him proclaim to God, "You have the one true path." He then says that the path is paths of grace and mercy and good news, and then he remembers the instructions that God has given him. And if you continue on in this psalm, you see that the exact same pattern is just repeated again of what God has done. So what does all this have to do with prayer? If God is the creator of all things, our only hope in difficult circumstances, he helps us walk in the truth, and he has poured out his grace and mercy on us, and then offered all we need for life and godliness, we should listen to him and talk to him more than we already are. If God wants to have a relationship with us, and if that atmosphere of nearness has been broken due to our sin, we need to hear from the Father. And when we hear from the Father, we have lots to say in response to him. Here's the thing, friends. God initiates a relationship with us by speaking. He speaks our lives into existence, and he has spoken primarily through his Son, which John 1:1 calls the Word. Jesus is God speaking continually to us the words of the good news. God has initiated a relationship with us. God has extended an invitation to us to return to that nearness with him through his speaking. So how does God speak? God speaks through his Spirit, the Spirit of the living God communicating to us, and he uses the means of creation, his word, and his people. So let's take a look at each of those categories. The Spirit is always speaking through creation, the word, and his people. First, with creation, God is speaking through creation itself. If we don't praise, the rocks will cry out. When we look at creation, we see the handiwork of an awesome, creative, powerful creator. Did you know that the earth is exactly the right tilt and the exact right distance from the sun in order that we can keep breathing and not freeze or melt? We are in just the right atmosphere at just the right place for us to have life. The fact that we are alive is a fact and data towards a God who exists, who created us, who is an intelligent designer in how he has gone about making everything. The change of seasons, the fact that we are here in Iowa and we have the perfect environment to grow the crops that we grow. And you can't grow the same crops in other regions. Each region has their own different crops that grow because of the soil that God has given them. We see all over the effects, the handiwork of our creative God. I've learned a lot about this marrying into a farm family. I'm from Kansas City and grew up in the suburban jungle, but my wife and her family are from Fairfield, just down the road, and grew up on a farm. And I've learned so much from her and from her family about enjoying God in creation. The first time I went deer hunting, I went with the men and her family. And I had never been deer hunting. I was familiar with guns. I had grown up with an uncle with guns. And so I, you know, went squirrel hunting and stuff like that. But I'd never been deer hunting. And so we go out, and I'm very intimidated. I'm intimidated for a lot of reasons. One, because I hadn't done it before. I've got this stigma as the city boy in her family. Her dad's a little scary no matter what. And so I'm like, all day in the cold for 3 days in a row. Got it. Okay. So we go out, and before lunch, on the first day, the first deer I saw and the first time I pulled the trigger, I dropped it. A good sized doe. I'm like, this is awesome. I love deer hunting. I did not see another deer for 3 days. I was like, this is the worst. I am never coming back here. But my father-in-law just was like, wasn't that the best time? He never pulled the trigger, didn't kill a deer. We barely saw anything in 3 days. But out in creation, out in the freezing cold, that's where he hears from God and talks to God. Because everything else is so noisy. Through creation itself, God is speaking to us. Next, through his word, as we open up the word, we see God speaking. He has something to say to us. And though the Bible is written by human authors, we read in the New Testament that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote. God's word is God speaking to us. It's a letter. In the New Testament, it's literally a letter to the church, but it is God speaking to us through his word. He has something for us. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. His word is both timely and timeless. It's always true and always has been true, but it has a timely word for you each day. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're talking about a lot of different things. But I think first and foremost, we're talking about this, our daily feast on God's words. God speaks through his word. And lastly, God speaks through his people. I read this in a book called Total Church, and I think that it is absolutely true. That God tells every church exactly what they need to hear to be the church of God, but he doesn't just tell the pastor. God has told River City Church everything that you need to hear through his word, but also through each of you. Because if the Spirit of the living God is living inside of you because you are in Christ, then the Spirit of God has something to say to the rest of the church. I'm not suggesting you come take the mic from Rodney on Sunday or try to speak into his mic because it's really close to his face. That would be very strange. But in community, in biblical community, in friendships, in counseling, in soul care, as you're serving together, God wants to speak to you and through you. God has something to say to his church through his church. And we're missing out when we don't listen and when we don't speak up. So at the end of the day, we see that God is initiating a relationship with us by speaking through his Spirit, by the means of creation, his words, and through one another, through other people. God has initiated a relationship with you in all of these ways. So when we go to him in prayer, we are answering back. Because God has already spoken. I'd like us to conclude this morning by reflecting on the fact that prayer is an act of listening to God. And then when we open our mouth, we are simply answering him because he has already spoken. If he has spoken in each of these ways, when we pray, we are just responding to him. If we can pray words that make any sense at all or can call on the name of God at all, it's because he has initiated a relationship with us. It's because creation, his spirit, the word, and his people have spoken and we are responding to him. So prayer is us listening to God and then answering God. With our words, with our hearts, with our very lives. So, how do we go about this? Well, first, we need to make sure that we're listening. Number one, we need to make sure that we are listening. What do you need to do in order to make sure that you are listening to creation, listening to the word, listening to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and hearing from the Spirit? What does it look like for you to listen to God? Because he has some great things to say to you. He has some good news for you. So let's tune our ears in to listen to him. The second thing is we need a plan. We need a plan because our lives are really noisy. Our lives are very noisy. Whether it's kids or work or the thoughts in your own heart or constant distractions, our lives are very noisy, so we need a plan for hearing from God. I'm about to share with you my plan, and I encourage you not to copy my plan, but I just want to encourage you to have a plan, and this is what mine has looked like over the last 2 or 3 years. I read a book 3 years ago called Answering God by Eugene Peterson that is all about this idea of responding to God in our prayers and how he has spoken to us. And ever since, I changed my morning routine and how I go about hearing God and speaking to God. So this is my plan. Again, I encourage you to come up with a plan, not just copy my plan. So the first thing is I get up before my children. That's a key to hearing from God. Because otherwise I hear their demands, I mean their requests for breakfast. And it gets very loud very quickly. I have 4 boys ranging in ages from 5 to 12. So it gets loud. So a while back, I just had to come to a place in my life where I said, Lord, I am going to sacrifice this hour of sleep. And I'm going to trust that you use it before my kids get up. And he has been faithful to do so. So I get up before the kids get up. I push start on the coffee maker. That's a key aspect of hearing from the Spirit as well. Push go on the coffee pot, make my breakfast, get everything ready. And then I determine the night before, either through a Bible reading plan or selecting it the night before, what I'm going to read in the Bible. Because one of the worst things we can do is just say, yep, I should read my Bible, but not know what to read. We either don't know where to start, or we start in Leviticus 7, and it's about killing a goat, and we're like, I don't know what, I can't hear God in this. So beforehand, have a Bible reading plan or something that helps you determine what you're reading the next day. And sometimes I'm so lazy of mind in the morning that I have to open it up. Okay, it's right there. So I grab my coffee, I grab my food, and I read just a little bit of scripture. Sometimes it's a sentence or a verse or a paragraph. Sometimes it's a whole chapter, but I just read a little bit of scripture. I want to start there because I want to make sure I'm hearing from God and I'm not hearing my own voice. So I start with a little bit of his word, and then I set aside his word, and I try to be as still and as silent as I can, and just listen to him. Sometimes the first thing, often, I should confess, often the first thing that I hear is anxiety. I hear about all the things that I'm anxious about for the day, or the way things went yesterday, or how I'm feeling about a particular situation. And what I do is I either write that down, or I just lift it up to God right at that moment, just real quick. God, I trust you with that. God, I'm going to go to you with that. And then I try to quiet myself again. And I just wait and hear from the Lord about those fears, about those anxieties. And then he starts bringing more scripture to mind. And then he reminds me what I just read. And then he reminds me of his faithfulness. And anytime an anxiety or a distraction comes up, I write it down or I just pray about it real quick. And then I listen again. And sometimes I'll even say, God, I'm listening. What do you want me to hear? Then I spend time praying. Praying for those things I wrote down, praying for my kids, praying for our leadership team at church, praying for my day, what's coming up, praying for concerns that I have, anxieties that I have, confessing sin to him. Then I spend time really communicating with God after a season of listening. And then I go back to his word. Now I'm ready to really dig in. Now I'm really ready and willing to hear from him. Now he has brought scripture to mind that I eagerly want to look through. Now I'm responding to the God who has already spoken to me. So this is the plan that I have, that I go about. Sometimes it's a 5-minute cycle of doing all those things if I don't have as much time. Other times it's a more lengthy time. But the goal is that I have heard from God before my kids get up, that I have heard from God before I pastor the church, before I love my wife, before I interact with other drivers on the way to work, before I start hearing all the fears, all the anxieties, all the worries in my life. I want to hear from God. So I want to encourage you to have a plan. And then the third thing I want to encourage you to do is share with someone your plan. Share with someone in the biblical community. Share with someone in this church. Share with Rodney or Jody. Share with them what your plan is to hear from God, or one thing that you need to change in order to hear from God. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that when a group of people determines that they want to hear from God, God will tell you something. God will speak to you. He's got good news for you about your standing before him in Christ. He's got things prepared in advance for you to do. He wants to show you what the Great Commission to go and make disciples looks like in this church and in this community. He has things he wants to say to you as a church. When an individual person or a family sets time aside and has a plan to hear from God, it's amazing. When a group of people does it together, it's called a revival. Because God shows you who he is. He convicts you of sin. He reminds you of the good news of the gospel. And then he says, now I've got some stuff for you to do. What an amazing thing that could be to witness as a church, to be a part of a revival like that. God wants to speak to you. Are you ready to listen? What is the plan, and who are you going to tell? I'd like us to spend a moment and just listen to the Lord. What would he have you do? What does he want to tell you about who he is? What does he want to show you from his word? Maybe a plan will start developing as we listen to the Lord. Let's spend just a moment listening to him, and then I'll bring us back together. Amen. Okay, kids, let's see your ears. Did anyone make any ears? Hold them up if you did. Beautiful. That's so good. Were you using my ear as a model? Kind of looks like me. The band is going to come up. Beautiful. Oh my goodness, those are huge. The band's going to come up here, and we're going to sing a song that says, "Yet not I, but Christ in me." What an amazing way to remember that God initiates with us. Would you stand with me, and I'll pray with you, and we'll sing together. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the good news you have to communicate to us. God, thank you that in Christ, you have words of grace and assurance and good news for us. God, thank you for then telling us how we can be a part of your mission. God, I pray for each of my brothers and sisters here that you would speak clearly to them, that they would clearly hear from you and they would share it with one another, and that you would do just an amazing work among us as we listen to you. Thank you, God, that you speak. Thank you that you have spoken to us in so many ways. Tune our hearts, our lives, our church to your voice. We worship you now because of who you are and what you have done.